You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Have you ever seen a story in the news or heard about an incident in school and felt a sort of kinship to the person who experienced it? That's how Ellen Cochran felt about Julianne Kupka, a 17-year-old girl who was stranded in the Amazon alone after being the sole survivor of a plane crash. Ellen is a longtime Sacramento educator and nature conservationist who now writes for young adults about nature. Her latest book, Follow the Water, comes out this month, and the launch party is Saturday, March 21st at Beers Books in Sacramento, and she's here with us now. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Vicky. It's a pleasure to be here.
So your book, Follow the Water, as I just laid out, it is based on a remarkable true story. When did you first learn about Julianne?
It indeed is the most astonishing story of the 20th century for survival. I was an exchange student myself to Peru, and that's where the story unfolds. I ended up with a lovely exchange family, and I explored the area of the Amazon, and I ended up taking the same flight that she did where her accident happened. So I was exposed to it then. I had read about her when I was researching before I went to Peru, but I just tucked it away in my pocket, and I never really thought about it till later.
Yeah, and that plane crash was in 1971. When you learned more about her story of survival, what resonated with you also as a young woman?
The survival story is something that stays with you because of her resilience, but also because of her upbringing and background with two scientist parents who had formed a research station in the Amazon, saved her life. Basically, science saved her life. And learning that and learning how that could be so important to someone was something that struck me and stayed with me pretty much until this very day.
Yeah, 17 years old in the Amazon for 11 days. I mean, she didn't survive because of luck, right? I mean, there was a lot more that went into it.
There was. Her parents were trained zoologist and ornithologist from Germany, and they had established a research station in the middle of the Peruvian Amazon, far away from civilization. In fact, it took them days to get there when they went there. So Julianne spent a good part of her childhood being raised there, and she learned survival skills. Her mother taught her, don't touch it unless you know what it is, and her father taught her how to make fires and also how to navigate if you get lost. One of the things that he said to her, Julianne, if you're ever lost in the forest, follow the water because water will lead to civilization. And basically what he was giving her was a mini lesson about watersheds.
Hmm. I also think there must have been a skill of mindset as well, like behind this resilience. I mean, you would have to remain relatively calm and focused in like a really scary, uncertain situation.
Well, one thing to keep in mind is it was her backyard because the research station was in the middle of the Amazon, and the accident occurred not super close to the research station, but not far. So the flora and the fauna that she encountered as she struggled for survival was something she was familiar with. But aside from that, a certain type of determination and personality where she was able to push back immediate fears and operate with a clear thinking and insight about how to behave in the jungle and remember everything was something that was remarkable.
Mm, yeah. I mean, you also laid out that you were Julianne's age. You even flew the same Amazon route, you know, as an exchange student in Peru. When you were learning about her story, did you see yourself in her?
Only in that I like to explore and find out new things, and I had great curiosity. She certainly had that, and I did share that. Whether I could have survived her ordeal, I don't know about that.
When did you decide to start writing this book?
I recently decided to start writing it because I taught for 20 years and I've always incorporated science into my lessons, even though I was a language teacher. And I retired and I got a degree in science writing after I retired. And COVID hit. And strangely, I discovered the story then. But like most of the people in America, I started cleaning out my house and I found a journal that I had kept when I was an exchange student. And I had mentioned the story and it sparked the idea to actually write a book about this.
Hmm. Have you ever been able to meet her or correspond with her in any way?
I worked so hard to try and do that. The answer is no. And here's why. She became a rather bizarre type of celebrity after the accident. She was hounded by paparazzi at the time and press. They even put long-distance lenses on their cameras to try and peer into her house. People would come up to her on the street, try and touch her and say, "You survived. What a miracle." And then probably most devastatingly, people who had lost loved ones in the flight would seek her out and say, why did you survive and not my loved one? And it was crushing to her. Her father was incensed of the intrusion. They went back to Germany and she continued her education there. And she pretty much decided, I'm not going to do any interviews. She has done some when she wrote her own adult account of the ordeal. She did do some speaking and it was very informative. I speak conversational Spanish and I can read it. So I was able to read both English and Spanish accounts from the time and also delve into her interviews in both languages.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with author Ellen Cochran about her new book, Follow the Water. Were there any challenges or surprises along the way when you were writing this book?
Oh, boy, she encountered some really tricky situations. There are some, and I'm going to recount it, even though it's a little graphic. She, when she fell, she broke her collarbone, had a concussion, a lot of gashes all across her body. She didn't know it, but every night when she went to sleep on the riverbanks, flies were laying eggs in the wounds. Very, very shocking. But the more shocking thing was later that they hatched and she had to deal with getting the little worms out, which she couldn't do initially. But at one point she came across a hut and she found some kerosene and she remembered that her father had showed her with a dog back at the research station that had been infected. If you put a little kerosene on, they'll pop up and then you can grab them. Their lack of oxygen forces them to the surface. And she was able to do that on her own. And 17 years old and being able to employ lessons from the past and take care of yourself like that is just really something.
Oh my gosh, that's extraordinary. Also, just focusing on the Amazon, I mean, this isn't just the backdrop to your book. I mean, you're presenting it as a living, breathing character of Follow the Water.
It is. Not just scenery. I really wanted to take time to present the Amazon as an interconnected life system. And the narrative of the story is fascinating and it would stand alone. But because I have written this for middle grade and young adult, I wanted to also employ STEM lessons throughout the book. So I included what I call sidebars about information about the flora, the fauna of the Amazon, and also physics lessons about why did she survive that fall? And I have to say, Vicki, the fall in itself is something that I don't think has ever happened before. She fell 2 miles out of the sky strapped to her seat. That's the equivalent of 7 Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other. She survived the fall, and I address that in the book. How did that happen?
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. I mean, because this book is fascinating and it's a true story of survival, but it's also teaching children about science. How did you go about kind of bridging those two? Because the story in and of itself is fascinating, but you mentioned that you also tie in STEM lessons as well.
I remembered when I was young how I would like to read factual information if it was interesting and taught me things when I was younger. And I knew there was so much in the story that was extra that kids would respond to. And so I just started asking myself, what would I like to read? What do you think they'd like to read? And so I cover things like bird eating spiders and all kinds of things like piranhas and jaguars. And I give a full picture of the Amazon in hopes that it sparks young scientists and their interest in the natural world and the physical world and science in general. I'm really hoping that, especially in this day and age where opinion can replace scientific research and discovery. I want young people to know what it means to be a scientist and how they can do it. In the back of the book, I also include a section for youngsters about how do you become a scientist? What are the steps to take?
Curiosity. I mean, it inspires, this book inspires curiosity and just being observant.
Absolutely. Which you can use in your everyday life, because the lessons of the rainforest do translate to any backyard or park for a young person. And observation, I think, is the first lesson to teach a youngster about becoming a scientist. Start to look at the world around you and ask questions.
And a portion of the proceeds from your book, they're going to support the Panguana Foundation, and that's the research station that Julianne's parents founded. What kind of research do they do there?
Oh, what don't they do there? Here's a really wild fact. There was a scientist that was working on beetles, and he was researching one tree. And in one tree, he found more than 1,000 beetles, different types of beetles.
Oh, wow.
So you can, anything you can think of, you can study there. They do moths, bats. That's what Julianne studied for her PhD. And all of the plants are fascinating. Plus, they also have a lot of research platforms in the tops of trees to study the weather conditions and the atmosphere as well.
And before I let you go, you already have another book in the works, right? You're going to be heading to the Siberia?
I do. It's called The Siberian, and I worked in the former Soviet Union, 87 to 89. So I have experience with the Russian culture, and I decided to write a book about the Far East, and it's a This one is fiction, which I'm having a lot of fun with, and it's a story of youngsters who do get lost, and they are trying to survive, but one of the main characters is an Amur Siberian tiger.
Oh, we'll have to read that one too. Ellen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicki.
Ellen Cochran is the author of Follow the Water, based on the true story of Julianne Kupka, a 17-year-old girl who was stranded in the Amazon alone after being the sole survivor of a plane crash. The book launch party is Saturday, March 21st at Beers Books in Sacramento. Still ahead, you may have missed that extra hour of sleep, but the added sunlight at the end of the day is perfect for art walks. We will learn more in this month's Arts Talk. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.